Yeah, this is David Wolford, and I'm sitting here with Cecil Maddox. It is the 14th of August, 2002. We are in Fulton, Tennessee, actually, right across the Kentucky line from Fulton, Kentucky. We're going to talk a little bit about the integration of schools in the Fulton, Kentucky system. But let's start off, Mr. Maddox, would you just please explain where you were born and where you grew up?
I was born in South Fulton, Tennessee, on Key Street, March 6, 1931. I've been here all of my life. I mostly spend my time on Taylor Street, where I am right now. Most of my time away has been in the United States Navy 4 years and college 4 years. And the rest of my time has been in this hometown.
And where did you attend schools when you were growing up?
I attended school at Rosenwald High School, Rosenwald Grade School in South Fulton, Tennessee. And then after I finished the eighth grade, I had to be transported to Union City by bus. Went to Miles High School there in Union City.
Miles High School, Union City, Tennessee.
And some of the kids here in Tennessee went to school in Hickman, Kentucky. And some of them even went to Martin, Tennessee, because they had to pass the school over here and couldn't go there. So some went to Martin, some went to Hickman. I went to Union City.
Did anybody from the Kentucky side go to school in Union City? Any blacks from Fulton, Kentucky?
No. Most of them went to Union City from Fulton, South Fulton.
Where did the blacks in Fulton, Kentucky attend school before the integration? Where did the blacks in Fulton, Kentucky, where that live in Fulton, Kentucky?
Oh, they went to school at Hickman, Kentucky.
Riverview High?
Right, Riverview High.
Okay. Can you speak much about Riverview High? Do you know that building, or?
I don't know. They sold a building. I think a church has it now. Yeah, I think it still exists. But I think it's about a church or community center there. But it's still there.
Is that in Hickman City?
That's in Hickman
City,
Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, right, it's still there. It's around the black neighborhood, where it's always been. And I think it's a church or either some center, but I think it's still there.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Tennessee State and Murray State. I got my BS degree at Tennessee State. I got my master's at Murray State.
Which college was your master's?
Murray State.
Murray State, okay, right. I'm highly interested in your teaching career in Fulton, Kentucky. What buildings did you teach in?
I taught at Carr Elementary. I taught at Milton, which was a black school at the time before they integrated. I was over there 3 years. I went to Carr Elementary in 1965, and I taught there, and I taught at a high school in Kentucky for 3 years.
Tell me a little bit about Milton Elementary.
Milton Elementary was grade 1 through 8. It had been there for a long time. My mother even went to school there. And the building burned back in 1958, I guess, about 1958 it burned. And we had to have school and a church. And then they built a brand new building, a fine building, about the same spot in Kentucky. And we went there and stayed there 3 years. And then 1965, the school was integrated. And all the teachers left Milton and went to Carr Elementary, the four of us. At the time, I was the head teacher there. We went to Carr Elementary in 1965.
While you were at Milton, let's do some comparison. You know, how did Milton Elementary, the black school, compared to other schools in Fulton?
Well, the latter school, the new school, was equal to in everything. I don't know about before I got there, but I know when I went there, they were building a new school. And we had the same textbook, brand new books. We got all the same privileges that the white school got. There was no separation. The only thing that was separated was the bodies. Mm-hmm. Corpus, but everything else was equal.
Was your salary equal to teachers over at Carr?
Oh yeah, we got state salary.
When did that begin? Do you know when that happened?
What, salaries?
Yeah, were those always equal in your day?
Yeah, always. Yeah. We always, we could see how we are, everybody made the same thing. Depending upon your experience, your degrees, and also your years. It was equal.
Mm-hmm. Did black parents, you know, how did they value education in your experience in the early days?
They put a high value on it because they the older parents didn't have the opportunity to go to school, and they could see the benefits for a child being going to school and learning and being educated. And they put a high value on it.
Okay. What caused Milton to actually, you know, you say in 1965, Milton, the schools in Fulton totally integrated the grade mm-hmm. school level. Mm-hmm. What caused that? Why did that happen in 65?
That happened because
I mean, was Milton situated in a black neighborhood?
Yeah, it was in a black neighborhood.
And it was
the people, when that old school burned, the people wanted school back because it was a neighborhood school. The school was closed, and all the kids could walk within the school within two blocks. And it was right there in the community, and they wanted the school back, and they built it. And then in 65, the system decided they wanted to integrate.
Well, how was the Milton school building used, the newer one, after the elementary children were integrated?
They didn't use, I think for a while they used it for a community purpose and they tore it down.
But it was never a mixed school, Milton?
No, never was.
Was that ever proposed?
No.
I can't imagine why that school, if it had been new in the late 50s, right? It was mm-hmm. the new one replacing the old one.
That was the late, was at 62. Not late, 62, when they built the new one.
Okay, so it was pretty new at the time.
It was brand new when I went in. I went in to head teacher, brand new.
And then just a few years later, they quit using it altogether?
Yep, and they integrated, and we went over to Carr School.
Was Carr Elementary the only elementary school by that time?
No, they had another school then called Terran Armor. It was two elementary schools, Terran Armor and Milton. And they also bought them over there, too.
Was Terry Norman a black school or a white school?
White school.
White school?
Mm-hmm.
So it all consolidated
all
in 65?
All consolidated, all 65.
Okay.
Teachers and students all.
Well, tell me how it was. I'm assuming that at Milton, it was strictly a black staff.
Mm-hmm. Four of us.
Four black teachers all went over. None of them lost their jobs. Is that correct?
No.
You all four went over to the Carr elementary, you know, how was that? How was that transition?
The transition, out of the four of us, I was the only one who had a regular classroom. The rest of them were put in special education. I was the only one put in a regular classroom.
When you transferred the car?
Mm-hmm.
How did the others feel about that?
How did they feel? Well, they accepted it. They didn't regret it. They accepted it.
How did the white faculty at Carr receive the black teachers that were coming from Milton?
Unusual.
Explain.
It was nice they could be. You couldn't find a better set of a relationship between black and white at their school.
So it was unusual in the sense it was very welcoming?
It was unusual. Parents and the teachers. I was the only male in the deal. And I recall the superintendent said, he told me one time, he said, the only thing these parents were concerned about was you and the white girl. And he said, I'd be damned if you didn't come out for me, the best friend the white girl got. But the relationship was real good, working good. I helped coach. There were times I went around with the football staff. I went everywhere. The kids did too, blacks and white. And it was superior. It was superior. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
No parents, black parents, all mixed in, students, faculty, all mixed together real well. No trouble.
Good. How did sports play a role in the integration here in Fulton?
Well, just like anywhere else, it played a major role in it. Black athletes at the time. When they first integrated, I think it had about two good superstar basketball players and football players. But later on, the black boys started coming out. They didn't have the opportunity to play football, and they started coming out. And that made a big difference. And the kids were just like that. I taught all the football players. I went them all the time. I never heard nobody saying nigger or white, you know. Modern day kids, they don't talk that stuff no more. They don't give a dang who you are.
What was it like to teach white students suddenly?
To me, it wasn't nothing. I had no problem with it. Matter of fact, if you go up here now to Carr School, the building, the brand new building of the high school, is dedicated to my name.
That's what I heard. Yeah, you must make you feel pretty good, huh?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Was there any special procedures taken when this transition happened, or was there any caution necessary at all?
You mean for the public?
For the public or for parents, you know, were the parents okay with the black teachers and the black students coming over to Carr?
Everything, that's jail right in. We had a good board at the time, had a good superintendent. And we had people in Kentucky then that were professional people, and they understood. They knew it was coming, and they had working out. Both sides did, black and white. They made it working out.
Who was the superintendent?
So, Lawrence Holland.
Lawrence Holland.
Right, Lawrence Holland.
Do you know when he retired?
He died, let's see. I don't know when Lawrence retired. Let me think now. It was somewhere in the 70s, I believe. Let's see, 65 over there, 65. He was there then. Might have been early 70s, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was teaching over there in that school when he was there then. Yeah. But Lawrence put that thing together. He had a nice board. He had all the people in the board, the educated folks. And they understood. And they made it work. Everybody's cooperating made it work. It just, you couldn't find a better situation. There wasn't no protest. No parents, no black and white.
No boycott?
No boycott, well, not all that.
Okay. Why was a suit necessary in the late 50s to integrate the high school under the same superintendent?
Well, they thought they would start out with the grade school and see how to work out. It was sort of a pilot deal, pilot thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And after they found out that it worked, then they went on to high school with it.
I see. Now you were involved with the NAACP here as well?
Oh yeah.
What was your position there?
I was just a member.
Member of the NAACP? Mm-hmm. How active was the NAACP here in Fulton in terms of making integration happen?
Oh, it was well organized, came from the national program, and the influence spread it out happened because of the idea to integrate was high. And it would become national. And all the NAACP organization in every community was on top of everything. Because at the time, there was some things happening to blacks that NAACP had to, you know, detest, you know. Not only with school, but it was other things, jobs and opportunities and things on that order. Mm-hmm.
What do you think that made a difference here in Fulton? NAACP involvement?
I think it did. You take a town like this now. Whites and blacks they always live together in the same neighborhoods. Where we find where this town is divided in three or four or six, and we call it State Factory, because it used to be a State Factory plant here.
Mm-hmm.
Crossway, Kentucky, we call it the bottom. We call it the hill and all that kind of thing. But Negroes have always lived together with blacks and whites. We just didn't go to school together. I play with white boys every day. We fought every day. They called me a nigger and I called them that, you know, but we got along, you know. And but we was all poor folk. And we grew up together. Whites, Negroes worked for whites, kept the children, they worked for them. That was a good relationship. You worked there, we knew each other.
Do you recall when the Supreme Court made its ruling in 1954?
Yeah.
What was the feeling around here when that happened?
It was it wasn't nothing to protest, not in this town.
Well, how did the black community feel about that
they
ruling?
They feel good about it because the kids we were put at a disadvantage. Having to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning or six in the morning and walk way down here. I had to walk about 3 or 4 blocks to get on the bus. I live right there. See them strips right there?
Yeah.
That's when and 4 to 6. 4 to 5, we built a house, and my daddy built a house there. And I had to walk there and go down about half a mile walk every morning to get on the bus.
To Union City?
Yeah, to Union City, to be transported to Union City.
So do you think the black community was anxious to be integrated?
I think sure, because at the time they had inferior books, supplies, and handicapped by transportation and all that.
Okay, so it's obvious that there was not an equal footing for both schools, but did that necessarily make the blacks want to go to school with the whites, or did they just want the same materials and the same...
They just wanted the same opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Same opportunities. That's what the NAACP were fighting for. At one time, they were separate and unequal. And then they came separate and equal. And then it became a national thing at NAACP, the integrated school, and everybody fought the integrated school.
And how would you describe race relations in Fulton over the last maybe 30 years?
Fine. Everybody know each other. And more so now because all the kids now here and Fulton went to school together, most of them. And I got lawyers and doctors and judges, all school, they went to school together. Now they run the town now. Mm-hmm. And they went to school with blacks. They play football with blacks, play basketball with blacks.